Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to join with you in the broadcast time again today. As we gather together, I need to remind you that so you've tuned me in by the way of WION, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you to our broadcast time together. Others are tuning me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and I'm pleased to announce that we're now streaming these two broadcasts live by the way of the web. And others that tune me in by way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, I welcome you. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse. All of a sudden, Current Media will show up, and then you click on Current Media, and it takes you right to the top broadcast, which is the one for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of this time together. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast time. And so I'd like to begin today with Doug and Noreen Lane. They are from the Sheridan area. To Bill and Judy Hammond, they are from the Belding area. To Gloria Spencer, she's from the Orleans area, and she does it in honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and we're glad to have her be doing that. And to Shiloh Community Church, I want to give a special invitation to you. Come to that church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. I still attend there. Our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Contemporary service at 10:45. We have a campus over in the Greenville area. It's located in the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And we gather together there on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music for this morning. I appreciate that so very much, and she's done a good job for it. She's working now. She just brought over rather December, and so I'm working on January and February, and will soon send that off to her. Our message for this morning is clean as you go principle. I got to tell you when I learned this principle in a few moments, but I believe this clean as you go principle is good for every area of our life. Clean as we go. Even for the spiritual area of our life as we walk with God. Even as we have heard so many times about the cleaning policy that has been coming about because of COVID-19. So we'll get into that message in just a few moments. But before we do, I want us to listen to a song that can kind of prepare our hearts for the message this morning. And this song is saying that the Lord is coming, is calling for each one of us. And he's asking for us to come unto him. So here we go.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy.
That's God's invitation to every single one of us, to come unto him and to come just like he is, just like we are. And he will receive us. And not only will he receive us, but he will remind us of how much he loves us and cares for us. I want to remember you, the listening audience that's tuned me in this morning. My voice is doing some better sometimes, and sometimes it's not so good. But anyway, this morning I want to pray for you. I'm over here at the Lighthouse trying to get this message to work the way I want to see it do, because we had some difficulty with songs last week. And I'm hoping it's going to be better this week. I cleaned everything, hoping it would do it. I even had some people in and cleaned my lighthouse and cleaned all my penguins that's here with me as I do the service this morning. But as we mentioned, whatever way you joined us, we're just glad to have you with us. In whatever town you live in, we're just glad to have you be a part of our service. And you are my listening audience, so I want to remember you. And if you got an unspoken request, I want to remember you and ask the good Lord's blessing to be upon you in a special way. Dear Father, now as we come into your presence, many of us celebrated Thanksgiving a little different than we've ever done before. But Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your goodness to us. And as we come here to this last Sunday of November, and we think about starting to work towards the Christmas messages, we pray, Father, that you would just help each and every one that has tuned me in this morning. Whatever the needs of their family are, I pray your special blessing would rest upon them. I pray, Father, if it's physical needs, that you would be with those that's going through physical difficulty. If somebody has lost a loved one, Father, I pray as they're going through the grieving process that you would be their source of comfort. Others are going through maybe problems within the family because we just can't get together as the way we are so used to being able to do. And I just ask, our Father, you'd be with any family problems. I pray for the older sheep of the flock that you'd be pleased to bless them. Maybe some of them's even in the nursing home or they're in their homebound in their own home. And Father, they need a little encouragement from you. So I pray that you would minister to them in a very special way. Now, somebody may have an unspoken request, Father, this morning. And I know that you hear and answer prayers to unspoken requests. So I want to pray for that need, whatever it is, as that person focuses on it right now. I want to pray your special blessing to be upon that individual, and you'd meet their every need according to your will. And I want to ask, our Father, that you would just let them know that this unspoken request is now before the Heavenly Father. And he's going to hear, and he's going to do some things to help answer whatever the need is. So I pray your special blessing to be upon them now. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Clean as you go. Let me tell you what Bevy and I was doing a number of years ago. We started out 22 years ago. This is our second year, so it was 24 years ago that we haven't went to Florida. When we started going, we was going to Gulf Shores. And then one of the hurricanes came through and took our condo down that we used to rent. And then we was moving along 1 year, and we came to a condo in Destin, Florida. And that's where we spent the rest of our years. But one day when we was much younger, probably about 20 years ago, so maybe in our 65, 64, somewhere in there, when we started to go to Florida that year, I said to Bev, let's not take the I-65. We've been doing that. Let's not take I-65, but let's take the secondary roads. And so we just broke off from the highway and we was just driving along our way, going through all the little towns. It was going to take us longer, but we didn't care. We was just enjoying seeing some different scenery and not having to go 70 or 75 miles an hour. And we stopped one morning to get breakfast. It was one of those mom and pop shops, you know. And where we were sitting on the table that we chose, I could look into the kitchen. And when I looked into the kitchen, there was a great big sign. I mean, it was about 3 feet long, big letters. And it said, clean as you go. I told our waitress when she came, I said, I really like that sign in the kitchen. Clean as you go. She said the owners, that's one of their main things that they do. They teach every one of us that we need to clean as we go. We just don't wait till the end of the day and then clean up the mess. We clean as we go. And that's the way they insist that we do it. I said to her, you know what? I believe that's a good idea. I believe that's a good idea about life. I believe that's a good idea about every area of your life. And ever since then, I've just kind of liked to hang on to that. Every year I'd preach a message when I was at Shiloh. Every year after I found that word, clean as you go, I would preach that message at Shiloh. I got to tell you, I came across this in my study. A clean as you go policy is a cleaning strategy used to minimize the risk of hygiene problems, health problems, and yes, even safety problems. The clean as you go method involves taking the opportunity to clean continually throughout the working day and making clean part of your daily routine to ensure that the surface and equipment and the premises are clean. It's clean hygienically, and it's not got a lot of clutter. It's free from clutter. We need to clean as it goes. I'd like to use that idea for my platform for the message this morning as we study this Word of God and see some things that He has. And you know, I think one of the thoughts I'd like to share with you as we begin this message is that I think this is a program, this is a principle that where you and I can work with God. I think some of it has to do with faith, but I think some of it has to do with works. In the book of James, God said this to those Christians at that time and to us as well. My brothers and sisters, what good does it do if someone claims to have faith but doesn't do any good things? Can this kind of faith save him? Suppose a believer, whether a man or a woman, needs some clothing or they need some food, and one of you tells that person, God be with you. Stay warm and make sure you eat enough. If you don't provide for that person any of his physical needs, what good does it do? In the same way, faith by itself is dead if it doesn't cause you to do anything good. I like that idea. It's God and you and God and me working together. We need the faith, but we need to do our part as well. I'm not thinking of faith that kind of faith that gives us salvation. Because I believe without a shadow of a doubt, we can't earn salvation. We can't do anything to get the forgiveness of sin because God is shared in His Word. In the book of Ephesians, He said, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. This thing about being saved is a gift from God, not a result of the works that you've done. And the reason for that is so no one can boast. Then in the very next verse, in verse 10, He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do. Even before you existed, God said, I got some things I want you to do. And we need to know that that's exactly the way He wants to speak to each one of us. Believers are justified or declared righteous before God. I believe it's only by faith. Jesus Christ is the only one who deserves any credit for doing the work of salvation. When He died on that cross, He paid the debt for our sins, and we were unable to pay that debt. I like the way it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God had Christ who was sinless take our sins so that we might receive God's approval through this one Jesus. I think we need to understand that Jesus had no sin, but he was willing to become sin for me. He was willing to become sin for you. And now when you have this salvation, he said, I want you to clean as you go. I want you to clean as you go. And this takes faith in God, and it also takes you doing your part. I've always illustrated it by a rowboat. Living here at the lake, I have a rowboat. Even when I taught kids at a campground years and years ago, I like using the rowboat and show two oars. The one oar I had written on it, faith in Jesus. The other oar, it's works. You know, if you just take faith and row with one oar, all of a sudden you're going around in a circle. If you say it's not faith, it's works, and you just work with, you just take the one oar and you just use that oar with works, you go around a circle the other way. But you know what I've learned? When you take both oars, faith and works, and you work them together, all of a sudden you'll be able to go wherever it is you want to go. With those thoughts in mind, let's remind ourselves that we need to clean as we go. We need to not let things get cluttered up in our lives. We need to realize we need this principle. And I believe this principle is starting when we realize that God is trying to clean us all up. It's not you and I coming to God and just claiming some kind of a religious idea. It's coming to God and saying, we need you. I want to share something this morning that Jesus had to deal with all the time when he was here. He spoke very strong to religious people of his time about how they wanted to look so good on the outside, but they neglected what was going on in the inside of their life. And he illustrated in a beautiful way in Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! You are acting like a hypocrite, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. You see, what God's trying to teach us is these Pharisees would say, you got to really look good. And sometimes religion says to you, and religion says to me, you got to really look good. So they polished the outside of the cup until it would sparkle. And the attitude was that this is just something that is very special. But the inside of the cup was very dirty. What good does it do to polish on the outside when that's what you're going to use the cup for is on the inside? They were able to fool a lot of people, those religious people of Jesus' day, thinking that they were so spiritual. But it was a saying that we need to realize that it's so much different when it comes to Christianity. He said that those people, they were nice looking on the outside, but their hearts, they were full of all kinds of evil. Religion often tries to clean from the outside in. But one of the things I love about the teaching of the Bible, and one of the things I love about the teachings of the Lord Jesus, is he says he cleans from the inside out, not from the outside in. He starts with the heart. Jesus was talking to these religious people again one time in the book of Matthew. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me, and in vain they worship me. They teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Then the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to him when he was just gathered with him, do you realize, Jesus, that what you shared with those religious leaders really offended them? They didn't like that. They said, would you explain this to us so we can understand? So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not understand whatever enters into the body goes into the stomach and it is eliminated? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These things come out of the heart. That's why the heart needs cleaning up first. And that's why I want to start from the heart and work from the inside out. These things don't defile. These things that come from the heart, they'll defile man. But what you eat will not defile you. And then I like it in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, when David had messed up in his life. He says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit within me. David knew that his result of his sin was because he let his heart and the evil of his heart to lead him astray. And then he's praying to God, create in me a clean heart. And that's what we need. So we need to clean as we go. But we need to let Jesus start it with us as he washes us from the inside out when we come to him and ask for the forgiveness of sin. You know, when Jesus was teaching these Pharisees, he reminds them that they needed to understand that something was important for them to get a hold of. In Bible times, one of the things that was important was the washing of the feet. In biblical times, people wore sandals. They did not have paved roads. The sand from the road would make their feet dirty. For this reason, it was customary when you entered into a house, the owner of the house, the host, would offer for any visitor to wash their feet. Or if you entered into the house, he'd have his servant wash their feet as a guest in their home. That was just a common practice. That's just like saying, hello, good to see ya. But they washed their feet. Remember one time when Jesus was invited as a guest to spend some time with a Pharisee. And Jesus went. He was always trying his best to reach those religious people. One of the Pharisees asked him to come and eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee was a very religious man. And went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, all of a sudden, a woman came into the house that was a sinner in the city. She bought an alabaster box of some fragrance, like perfume. And she stood at his feet behind him. And she started weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. She began to kiss his feet. And she'd wipe them with her hair. And then she dumped some oil on his feet, that fragrance. And when the Pharisee saw it, he said, this man surely isn't a prophet. Otherwise he'd know who this woman is that is touching him. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisee in the book of Luke chapter 7. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he just forgave them both. And he said, now the one owed 500 and the other 50. But he said, I want you to know that he forgave them both. So Simon, which one do you think would love him the most. The one that was forgiven $100,000? Or the one that was forgiven $150? And Pharisee thought about it for a few moments and he said, "Teacher, I suppose the one who he forgave the most would love him the most." Jesus said, you said rightly. Now listen to what he said to this Pharisee. He said, "I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears, and she's wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, which was custom to do, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, because they often did that, but this woman has anointed my feet with this fragrance. Therefore I say unto her, her sins, which are many, will be forgiven, because she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, Simon, the same love little." Then he said to the woman, "Your sins are all forgiven." How special of a story that is in the Word of God, to teach us that we need to realize that our daily life, every day of our life, we need to have our feet cleaned because of walking the way we did. Jesus one day washed the disciples' feet, and I need to give my voice just a little bit of a rest. So I'm going to play the song first, hoping it's going to play. And then, after we have the song, I want to tell you the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And what a lesson it is for you and I. God be with you as we listen to this song, and may he speak to our hearts with what he wants to teach us.
The moment our eyes met, I knew this was the night that I would betray him, the precious Lamb of God. No other disciple was aware of my plan till he rose from the table with something in his hand. His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end. But he bowed and he washed my feet, knowing that I was the cause of his grief. When he should have scolded, he whispered peace. My feet. Judas would fail him, but he's no worse than I. The moment I gave him to Satan, compromise, ungrateful that Jesus had saved me from hell. I was walking so proudly, and that's when I fell. His holy eyes pierce through me, revealing all my sin. I knew His wrath was coming, and this would be the end. But He bowed and He washed my feet, knowing that I was the cause of His grief. When He should have scolded, He whispered peace as He bowed. The King bowed. Jesus washed my feet.
Can you imagine that, folks? Can you imagine that? That Jesus washed the feet of Judas, even knowing that Judas was going to betray Him. I want to give you another part of that story, because I think it's a part of the story that can tell us that we need this principle in our life to daily make sure that we clean as we go. I believe it was very special that Jesus would wash the disciples' feet. I believe one of the best illustrations in the Bible about need of being washed from our daily sins is found when Jesus was willing to wash the disciples' feet. These men wore open sandals, and they walked along dirty roads, where mud and dust would get in between their toes and their toenails because of the daily walk of their life. And we read in the book of John, the Father had put everything in Jesus' control, and Jesus knew that. He also knew that He had come from God and that He was going back to God. So He got up from the table in that Passover feast. He moved His outer garment. He took a towel and He tied it around His waist. Then He poured some water into a basin and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel He had put around His waist. But when He came to Simon Peter, Peter asked Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered Peter, "You don't know what I'm doing now, but you will understand later on." Peter told Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus replied to Peter, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't belong to me." Simon Peter said, and I love the way he did it, Simon Peter said, he said, "Wash me completely clean." He says, "Wash my hands and my head and wash me all over." The need to have only feet, Jesus said, the need is to only have your feet washed. And all of you except one of you are clean. And Jesus knew who was going to betray Him. And that is why He said, all of you are clean except in one. You know, in that story, I always liked the idea that Peter was so idea of not wanting Jesus to wash his feet at first. And then he was saying, "Wash me all over." But I love what Jesus did there, folks. He didn't tell all the other disciples that Judas was going to betray Him. He knew it. He said, "I'm washing your feet today, Peter, and all the rest of you disciples, because one of you are unclean. And one of you are going to cause a lot of difficulty." And so He washed the feet of all the disciples. There's one translation that I really like, that Jesus said, it was translated in the Bible this way. It said, You know, you don't need to be washed all over, Peter, like when you've had a bath. But what you do need to do is you have to have your feet washed, because you only wear sandals. And you get the dirt on your feet from each day. And I believe that's what God is saying to us today, in this idea of clean as you go. You know, you're going to find out in your life and mine that every day as we go, there's times when we obey and there's times when we'll disobey. There's times when we'll say things that we should say. There's times when we'll say things that we shouldn't say. There's times that we'll think thoughts that it is good thoughts. And there's times that we'll think thoughts it's not good thoughts. I like the translation that says, the one that has a bath doesn't need to be washed except for his feet. The feet that speak of my daily life, my daily walk. Every day where my feet go, God is saying to you and I, you need to clean as you go. Don't let that stuff accumulate in your life. The daily dirt needs to be taken care of. One of the verses that I really like for this is given to us when it says in 1 John, written to us Christians, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive all of our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. I especially like to do it at communion time. But I especially like to have a certain time too when I just come to Jesus and want to say to Him, I want to confess the things that I've done or said that's been displeasing to You. I believe we need to do that. I believe we need to clean as we go. It's just not like we're asking Jesus to forgive us and then that's all done for the rest of our life. There's daily things that we may say, daily ways that we may mess up. And we need to not let it accumulate. Because the more it accumulates, the more it takes over. I want to address something now that I think is so important to think of. When you think about this idea that you and I need to have daily forgiveness for the things that we've done that was not pleasing to Him. I believe one of the good times to do it is at nighttime, just before we go to sleep. Father, forgive me of anything I said or done today that's been displeasing to You. Clean as you go principle. You know why we need that? Because in our lives we get the dirt that comes on us from others. And in our life, we get the dirt that we cause to go on others. Sometimes the dirt is coming from others to us, and sometimes the dirt is coming from us to others. We need to keep short accounts of our failures and coming to God daily seeking His forgiveness. At the same time, we need to make sure that we keep short accounts with God, not only with God, but with others. Those that have wronged us, we need to forgive. Those that we have wronged, we need to ask their forgiveness. I've said, I believe, for many, many years, you cannot live on planet Earth very long, folks, until you have to forgive someone who wronged you. And you can't live on planet Earth very long until you have to forgive, you have to ask forgiveness for somebody you wronged. Even when the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray, He reminds us of this principle when He is teaching the disciples. He said, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as You have forgiven us. Forgive the others in the same way You have forgiven us. I think that's so important. I think it's so necessary to realize that God wants you to know that you have received forgiveness. And because you have received forgiveness, you can give forgiveness to others. You can forgive them. And you should forgive them. One day Jesus was telling a story. I love Jesus' story. I love the stories that He told. I love the story about the washing of the feet. Of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. You know why? Because in that story, He's teaching us by example. He said, this is what I've done for you. I want you to be willing to do these kind of things for others. But one day Jesus was telling this story. A king decided one day to check on his servant's account. He had just begun to do some when one of them was brought to him that owed him about $1 million. And the servant did not have enough to pay his debt. So the king ordered him to be sold as a slave, with his wife and his children, and all that he had in order to pay the debt. Now listen to what the servant did. The servant fell on his knees before the king. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I'll pay you everything." The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave them all the debt that he owed, and he let him go. He didn't put him in prison. No, that should make a person really be grateful. That should create a whole lot of gratitude in our hearts and lives to realize that we've been forgiven by God of the things that we've done against him. And that's what God is trying to teach. The Lord Jesus was trying to teach. Forgiveness is a great thing that you have received. Now you go and you forgive. But this story goes on in a different way. I believe that's so precious that he forgave his debt that he couldn't pay. Then this man that had been forgiven his huge debt was not put in prison. He went and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few dollars. Remember, he's been forgiven a whole lot. He has a servant that owed him a few dollars. Listen to how he responded to him. He grabbed him and started choking him. "Pay back what you owe me," he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him. And I think he should have thought about what the servant was saying to him, because that's what he said to the king. "Be patient with me. I'll pay you back." But he refused. This one that had been forgiven so much refused to hear this man pleading for help. He was so upset with him that he went and he had him put in prison. Some other people had heard that and maybe even seen it. And they went back to the king that had forgiven him. They said, "You know that fellow you forgive, that big debt that he had against you, that you had against him, and you totally forgave him. He went out and he found another man that owed him a few dollars, and he's had him put in prison. He even choked him, and had him put in prison." You know, the king said, "Have him come back to me." So that man that he had forgiven came back to him. And I like the way it is said there. He said, "I had forgiven you. Shouldn't you have forgiven the one that had a debt that he owed you? I had forgiven you many, many times more, and you couldn't forgive him that little." Then he said, "Have him thrown into prison." So he had him thrown into prison because he failed to practice what the teachings of Jesus is. Just as you have been forgiven, you make sure you forgive others. I got to tell you, folks, this idea of cleaning as you go has a lot to do with this thing called forgiveness. This clean as you go has been a big part of my life. I want to spend the next few minutes just on some personal thoughts on my life. I'm not going to give you a lot of information. Many of you know my story. But you know, I was raised in a family where I was raised by a stepdad, only I never knew he was my stepdad. My mom and dad had a divorce when I was just 2, or under 2. And when my mom and my stepdad moved to Michigan, my name was really Kenneth Dale Bauer. And they put me in school as Kenneth Dale Harger. You know, I had asked my mom several times, Do I belong in this family? How come all the other kids got blonde hair and only my sister and I have dark hair? I ask at different times, and I'm not going to go into all that. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I was about 17, but I need to tell you first that my stepdad left when I was about 15. And because I was the oldest kid in the family, the oldest boy, that day it meant you quit school and you got a job. And you helped to support the family, and that's exactly what I did. And you know, when my stepdad left, if you were to ask me, you got any good memories of him? Good memories from your relationship in those 15 years or those 13 years that he was your father that you know about. And you know, when I come to know Jesus, it was just a short time later when I felt that Jesus was calling me to be a pastor. I had a speech impediment. I think, how can I be a pastor with a speech impediment? But more than that, when I went to God and started thinking about this idea of being a pastor, God was saying to me, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to work for me. But you got to forgive your stepdad first. You know when he spoke to me about this? When he was dying on the cross. I remember the first time I read the words of Jesus as he prayed to the Father. There was people that were spitting on him. There was people that drove spikes into his hands. There was people that put a spear into his side. They nailed him on that cross. They had mocked him. They were saying all kinds of bad things like my stepdad used to say to me. And Jesus was looking down from the cross. And then he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, the ones that are hurting me. For they do not know what they're doing. Forgive them. And Jesus was speaking to my heart to say, I want you to be a pastor, but I want you to forgive your stepdad, the things that he's done that's hurt your life. So I prayed the same prayer that Jesus prayed. Father, I want to forgive my stepdad because he really didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how much it hurt. He didn't know how much he was hurting me. And you know something that happened? When I did that, I felt that I had forgiven him. I didn't see him for 20 years later. And then I knew in my heart when I see him when he was on his dying bed that I had totally forgiven him. But I told my congregation over and over again, I've forgiven my stepdad and it set me free from his control on my life. We need to clean as we go. The bottom line of all this is that God is saying in order for you to move forward, you need to clean as you go so you don't get hindered in that forward motion. And one of the things that I learned from this that I've passed on in many funerals is, you know, I was, like I said, I wouldn't think I had any good memories. But you know, when I forgave my stepdad, all the sad memories I had, then all of a sudden good memories came to the top. And what I've learned through all this process is a realization that God wants us to forgive those that have wounded us just like he forgave those that had wounded him. And he wants to know that he wants to do something in our life that after a while he'll take those wounds as he did the wounds of Jesus and bring healing to others. With that thought in mind, I got a little prayer song I want us to listen to. And this little prayer song is speaking about what I've just been talking about. And it's the idea that we need to forgive those that have hindered us. Create in me, O God. Create in me a clean heart. I want a clean heart. in my relationship to others, my relationship with you. God bless you.
Spirit.